Let's start with a picture that doesn't quite make sense the first time you see it. Two airplane fuselages, side by side, joined by a single wing so long you could park a football field under it and still have room left over. Six engines pulled straight off a Boeing 747, 28 wheels, and slung underneath the center of that wing. Between the two bodies, a little winged dart waiting to be dropped. That's Rock, the largest airplane ever to fly, measured by wingspan, and that dart is the whole reason it exists. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we're going into the strangest corner of the space and aviation crossover, the place where a runway takeoff turns into a hypersonic flight test. We're going to talk about Stratolaunch, the giant that carries the load, and the Talon A, the reusable vehicle that's quietly bringing something back to American aerospace that we lost decades ago. Let's break this down. Before we get into the engineering, a quick word from the people helping keep this segment in the air. This one's supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the milestones that actually matter. Your first solo, your private. The day the instrument rating finally clicked. CFI. Real weight in your hand, beautifully made, built to outlast the logbook. If you've got a milestone worth marking or somebody in your life who does, go take a look. AviationSoul.com, okay? Let's talk about the airplane first because you cannot understand the mission without understanding the truck. Stratolaunch was born out of a big idea from Paul Allen, the Microsoft co-founder, back around 2011. The original plan was orbital. The theory goes like this. If you want to put a rocket into space, the hardest, most wasteful part of the whole business is the first 30 or 40,000 feet where the air is thick, the rocket is heavy, and you're burning enormous amounts of fuel just to claw off the ground. So what if you didn't start on the ground? What if you carried the rocket up to 35,000 feet on an airplane, out over the ocean, and dropped it there, above most of the atmosphere and already moving? That's air launch. And regular listeners know we've talked about the older version of this idea, the L-1011 that drops the Pegasus rocket. Stratolaunch wanted to do that, but bigger, much bigger. So they went to Scaled Composites out in Mojave, the shop Bert Rutan built, and they had them construct an airplane around that mission. The result is officially called the Model 351. Everybody calls it Rock, after the giant bird from mythology. Here are the numbers, because the data tells an interesting story. The wingspan is 385 feet. To put that in something you can feel, a Boeing 747 wing is about 211 feet. This thing is nearly twice that. It is wider than a full-size football field is long. Maximum takeoff weight is around 1.3 million pounds. It runs 6 turbofan engines. And here's the elegant part. They didn't design new engines. They bought 2 used 747s and harvested the engines, the landing gear, the cockpit instruments, avionics, all of it. Twin fuselage, but only the right-hand cockpit is crewed. The left body is empty, its structure. Rock first flew in April of 2019, and by any honest measure, it flew well. A twin fuselage airplane is not a trivial thing to fly. You've got two bodies with a huge span between them, and the whole point is to carry a heavy payload right in the middle and then suddenly let it go, which changes your balance and your aerodynamics in a fraction of a second. Scaled Composites and the Stratolaunch flight test team worked through all of that. But here's what happened along the way, and it's the part most people miss. Paul Allen died in 2018, before the airplane ever flew. The company went through a hard stretch, got sold, and the new ownership looked at the market and made a cold, smart engineering decision. The orbital launch business had changed. SpaceX had driven the cost of getting to orbit through the floor with reusable boosters landing themselves on barges. The economic case for air launching a big orbital rocket had gotten a lot weaker, so Stratolaunch pivoted, and this is where it gets genuinely interesting for us. They stopped trying to reach orbit. Instead, they aimed the whole system at a problem the United States had been quietly struggling with for years. Hypersonic flight testing. Let me define the term, because it gets thrown around loosely. Hypersonic means Mach 5 and above, 5 times the speed of sound at that speed. The physics stops being ordinary aerodynamics and starts being something closer to controlled violence. The air in front of your vehicle doesn't have time to get out of the way, so it compresses and heats to thousands of degrees. The shock waves behave differently. The airflow around control surfaces does things that are extremely hard to predict on a computer and even harder to model in a wind tunnel. And here's the honest problem. For decades, if you wanted to actually fly something at those speeds and gather real data, your options were terrible. You could fire it off a rocket as a one-shot, watch it for a few minutes, and then lose it in the ocean forever. every single test, brand new vehicle, brand new rocket, enormous cost, and you get one set of data before it's gone. The last time America had a truly reusable, repeatable way to fly a piloted vehicle into that regime and bring it home was the X-15 rocket plane, and that program ended in 1968. Think about that. We put humans on the moon and then largely walked away from routine, recoverable hypersonic flight testing. That's the gap Stratolaunch decided to fill, not with orbit. With a hypersonic testbed you can use over and over, enter the Talon A. The Talon A is that winged dart hanging under ROC's center wing. It's an uncrewed, rocket-powered vehicle, roughly the size of a small airplane, about 28 feet long. ROC carries it up to around 35,000 feet out over the Pacific, releases it, and the Talon lights its own liquid rocket engine and accelerates into the hypersonic regime, above Mach 5. It flies a profile, gathers data, and then, and this is the whole ball game, it comes back down and lands on a runway. Like an airplane, ready to be inspected, refurbished, and flown again. That reusability is the entire value proposition. Let me put the pros on the table plainly. When you can recover the vehicle, three things change. First, cost per test drops, because you're not throwing away the hardware every flight. Second, cadence goes up. You can fly again in weeks instead of building a new article over many months. And third, and this is the subtle one, you get to fly the same vehicle multiple times, which means you can change one variable and compare. That's real experimental science instead of a series of expensive one-offs. Now let's talk timeline honestly, because I promised you both sides. They didn't get here in one leap. The first drops were separation tests, just proving ROC could cleanly release the vehicle without the two colliding, which at that scale is not a given. Then came the first powered flight of a Talon A in the spring of 2024. That one flew under rocket power and gathered data, but it wasn't recovered. It was a test article, and it ended its flight in the ocean as planned. The real milestone came at the end of 2024 and into 2025. Stratolaunch flew the second vehicle, the TA-2, under power into hypersonic speeds, and then brought it back and recovered it. And then they did it again, same airframe, second flight. That's the moment the concept stopped being a slideshow and became a working capability. A privately built, reusable hypersonic vehicle airdropped from the world's largest airplane, flown past Mach 5 and recovered to fly another day. That had not been done that way before, so who's paying for all this? Because vaporware in this business is common, and the honest question is always follow the money. In this case, the customer is the Pentagon through a program run out of the Test Resource Management Center. An effort aimed at giving the United States more ways to test hypersonic technology quickly and affordably. There's real defense urgency here, because other nations have been flight testing hypersonic weapons aggressively, and the American answer for years was hampered by exactly that testing bottleneck we talked about. Stratolaunch isn't the only player. There are competitors working ground launch testbeds and other approaches, but the air-launched, reusable, runway-recovered angle is Stratolaunch's particular bet. Now, here's where I put my engineer hat on and give you the caveats, because I don't do hype without them. Reusability is proven in principle now, but proven twice is not proven 100 times. The real test of a reusable system is what the refurbishment actually costs and how fast you can turn it around, flight after flight, once the newness wears off. A vehicle that comes home hot from Mach 5 and needs a full teardown between flights is reusable on paper, but expensive in practice. The whole promise lives or dies on that turnaround number, and we don't have a long track record yet. Second, this is a testbed, not a product. The Talon A doesn't go to orbit. It doesn't carry passengers. It is a flying laboratory for hypersonic research and for testing components other people are building. That's genuinely valuable, but it's important to be clear-eyed about what it is. Nobody's booking a hypersonic airline ticket off the back of this. And third, there's the single airplane problem. For a long time, there was exactly one ROC in existence. One airplane, one of a kind, hand-built, irreplaceable. Stratolaunch has talked about expanding the carrier fleet, and having more than one launch platform matters a lot if you want to fly at real cadence. But building another airplane at that scale is not cheap and not fast. Your entire operation resting on one unique airframe is a real risk, and any honest analysis has to name it. So, let me pull the altitude back and give you the big picture. Because here's what I find genuinely compelling about this story. As an engineer, air launch is one of those ideas that keeps coming back because the underlying physics never stops being true. Getting altitude and a little bit of speed for free from an airplane before you ever light the rocket is just a good trade. The old version aimed at orbit and largely got out-competed by reusable boosters, but this new version found a different, sharper problem to solve. It took the one thing an airplane is uniquely good at, flying to altitude, out over the ocean, on a schedule again and again, and it married that to a vehicle designed to come home in one piece. And in doing that, Stratolaunch is quietly reopening a door that America basically closed in 1968. Routine, recoverable, repeatable flight into the hypersonic regime. Not as a single heroic shot, but as something you can do on a Tuesday, land, inspect, and do again. That's the crossover I love. It's not space, and it's not ordinary aviation. It's the seam right between them where a runway takeoff turns into a hypersonic experiment and then remarkably turns back into a runway landing. My thanks to Stratolaunch for the public flight data, to Aviation Week and the reporting around the talent test campaign, and to the folks at Scaled Composites who built that impossible-looking airplane in the first place. You'll find more of these breakdowns at RadioHanger.com. Next time you see that photo of the two-bodied giant and you think it can't be real, remember there's a little winged dart under the middle of that wing, and it's the part that's actually rewriting the flight test book. I'm Vector. Keep looking at how things work.